learn and follow you and to be decisive at loving and honoring you and stepping into your presence. Father, thank you for his heart. Thank you for his love. Thank you for his big teddy bear spirit. We just pray that you would be speaking through him today. Father, thank you. We crave the insights from your heart, Holy Spirit, that Byron brings to us. So we just welcome that, and we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. We got it. Going here? Good. You ever been to 4th of July fireworks? Everybody? And you know, as it's going on, boom, bang, boom, sometimes you see, and all of a sudden when it's, I forgot my glasses at home, so I get you in clarity rather than blur. And then there's kind of, you know, the crowd kind of settles down, and it's this and boom and bang and smash and some of the stuff, ooh, that was loud. And then all of a sudden, the grand finale, right? That's the way they do it. And the grand finale, and that is amazing. The sparks are flying all over the place. Today, we have the grand finale. Open up your spiritual ears to hear. Open up your heart to what God has for you. Because this certainly is, in the book of Acts, the grand finale. Amen? So, Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. It's powerful. It's powerful. We've already heard testimonies of that in Jesus' name. And it's breakthrough time for us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ooh, this is one I couldn't wait to deliver. And I just thank the Lord for his word. But in order to understand and see the impact of chapter 27 and 28, we have to back up a little bit. We have to back up a little bit. In Acts 23, the Lord appeared to Paul. He was in trial, and it says, and there, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify in Rome. So I got back up to the Lord visiting him and sharing to him, here's your destiny, Paul. Here's where you're going. And there may be some little difficulties on the way, but I want to assure you that you will complete the task that I have for you. God has a task for all of us. And as you receive God's promises in your life, be assured that they will come about. Be assured. Then in chapter 24, and when 2 years had passed, he got this word from the Lord that your journey is going to end up in Rome. And in all the things going on and all the trials he was going through, he was sent to prison. And this is at least two years. He could have said, wow, God, you have all this for me. And I want to share with you all this morning, as we look at this journey, maybe you've been thinking in your life that nothing's happening. Maybe you're in that journey in a jail, caught and trapped and can't go anywhere. And you're wondering when is the promises I have? When is all that God promised? When is all that God has for me? When is that going to take place? I'm sort of sitting here in a holding pattern. Maybe that's you. I know I've been there. I've been in there and saying, you know, when is the things I'm praying about, the things I'm seeking you for, when am I gonna see your hand at work in my life? And God is always saying, be patient. be patient. I will fulfill every promise I've given you. He's not a God that lies. So that's a background to where we're starting in chapter 27. And I used to do a lot of sailing in Lake Michigan, and this particular chapter is exciting to me. All the unexpected can happen. Storms could build up in Lake Michigan out of nowhere. You think it's a pleasant day, I'm out for a pleasant sail, and all of a sudden you're fighting a violent storm, and boy, the winds can pick up in Lake Michigan. And one time it got so violent, the 45-foot mast broke and fell down. Things can happen suddenly. But you know what, church? Don't focus on the suddenlies of difficulties. Put your faith in the suddenlies of God showing up. Now we're going to go through chapter 27. We're skipping around a lot of the sail stories, but it says in verse 3, the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends as they might provide for his needs. What does that verse say? What does that verse say? Here he was in sort of like in chains as a prisoner heading to Rome, and the person in charge of him was Julius. What it's saying is, even Paul, as he's being delivered to Rome, found favor in those in charge of him. You know, sometimes, church, don't think of that boss or that family member or that person that you think, like the bad girls. I like that. I thought about it, but it's part of this thing. And don't think of those people as something that can hinder you. But ask the Lord that He'll have you walk through that difficult place and thank God for those that may be opposed to you. He found favor from Julius, who is in charge to get prisoner Paul to Rome. I tell you, the fireworks are happening here. So then in verse 10, men, I can see that your voyage is going to be dangerous and great loss of ship and cargo, and to even our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable for the winter, and the majority decided that we should go sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix the winter and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. What's key here? The majority is not always right. And you know, and don't over spiritualize some of the decisions you make in life. Because it says here, it says Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking with Jesus in confidence, says, I can see there's trouble ahead. You know, he didn't say, well, the Lord told me and this and that. You know, you have confidence in your walk with Jesus. And He'll download things to keep you safe. And I want to raise your expectation for your walk. Because even in the business world, I'll just suddenly make decisions or something like we can't find this material, we can't find where it is, and all of a sudden in my mind comes, call this company. Call them. And they call them, and there it was, provision. Have confidence in the God that's leading you. What it says in the Word? It says, I am a light to your feet. And the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Have confidence in the decisions you make. Have confidence in the decisions you make. Because the Lord is with you. He's with you on the journey. He's the one that says, I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. So Paul is saying, in his mind, he saw a vision and said, I see that destruction and danger is ahead of us. But the captain of the ship, the centurion, and the majority, there's over 200 people on the ship, all said, let's go. Let's not listen to Paul. Don't be discouraged when people don't listen to you. Because we're going to find out the tables are turned. The tables are turned. After that, had gone a long time without food. Now, I'm skipping over. They took off, and exactly what Paul said happened. There became a northeaster, like a hurricane, and the ship was in great danger, and the people aboard were in great danger, and things are becoming undone. And then we go on, and after they had gone a long time without food, and I know about that. I've had people on the sailing of Lake Michigan that don't have the good stomach. Stuff is not going in, it's going out. And it's a terrible thing. I thank the Lord that all my sailing days, I just didn't get seasick. I just don't. And it's a blessing. But I've been there to see people really sick. And guess what my assignment on the boat was? Cleaning up. That was not fun. So, a long time. And they said, and you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Now Paul is entering into a prophetic word for all those 200 plus people on that ship. And he's saying, you should have listened to me, but now I'm going to take courage, because none of you are going to get lost. None of you are going to get lost. And only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, now he's talking about his relationship with the Father and back to those promises. I'm going to make it to Rome. The storm is not going to take my life. So he says that an angel of God in whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God will graciously give your lives of all you who sail with you. So keep your courage, men. Keep your courage, men. And I want to say, for all of our lives, as we walk through lives and we go through those challenges in life, take courage. Raise up faith in your life. All is not lost. And now he's getting a lot of substance to what he heard a long time ago while in prison. You will make it to Rome. And then he had that word that don't leave, because there's a bad storm's coming. They didn't listen to him. You know what? Now he's beginning to get their attention. Now he's beginning to get their attention. We'll leave some of the details, because now they're reaching a place of possible safety. 29 verse. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. And verse 30, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboats down into the sea. Pending, they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, they cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboats to let them drift away. He got their attention, guys. The key here, guy, is here the lifeboats was their safety net. And Paul said, cut it loose. Where's our safety nets? Where are your safety nets? Do you have things that you don't think God can do, so you got a little reserve? God is saying through this word, would cut it off. Cut it off. I got you covered. I got you covered. And here are these pagan Gentiles. Paul, everything he said was coming to this point, and now he's telling them to cut off the safety net. Cut off the light bolts. He's got their attention. Because what they did is they cut the lines. They cut the lines. They were beginning to listen to what the man of God was saying. And so then in verse 33, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head. He's got their attention. And what I don't think I wrote that verse on there, but they ate in this terrible storm that is still in effect. They already cut the lifeboats loose, and now they're sitting there, and he says, don't worry, guys. All of you will be saved. All 200 plus of you. We're all going to be fine. He says, eat, eat. And they ate. And then he told them, here's another thing. I don't have the verse there, but he said, take all the leftover grain and throw it out. Throw out your provision. God is your provision. He's all you and I will ever need. But yeah, we go through these things. And then, after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of all of them. And he broke it and began to eat. Demonstrate, whoa, what memories that is. Jesus breaking bread. And he said, boldly. Here's with all these pagans, and boldly. Before they even started eating, he said he stood up boldly before them and broke the bread and said, begin to eat. Begin to eat. We're all going to be okay. We're all going to be okay. Cutting loose the anchors. There you go again. They left them in the sea. At the same time, untied the ropes and held the rudder, and they hoisted the foresail and the wind to make it to the beach. How many times in this chapter are we talking about cutting off our own ability and provision and trusting in the Lord? Trusting Him alone. Him alone. He's everything. He's everything any of us will ever need. You know, it's amazing. And it's amazing the repetitive of this. Cut it off. Throw the grain out. Cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. And they're listening to him. Then something strange happens. The soldiers plan to kill the prisoners to prevent them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim, jump overboard first and get to the land. And the rest of you, get on the planks and the other pieces of the ship. And this way, everyone will reach safely. And they all did. But get behind the scenes. Here's this insurrection tape. Let's kill Paul. You know, Jesus said we have an enemy. He steals, kills, and destroys. But he said, be of good courage. He's overcome that enemy. Paul had an assignment to get to Rome. And even though a group gathered up to say, let's take his life, that didn't even work. Because he found favor. He found favor in that centurion. And he said, we're not having anything of it. I'm believing this guy that none of us will be lost. The ship will, but all of us will be safe. I'm believing this guy, not even a hair out of their head will be torn from them, but they'll all be safe. So he took charge and he said, no, we're not taking the life of the prisoners. They're not escaping. We're going to continue to listen to the man of God. Then we go to chapter 28. Once safely on shore. God has safety for all of us. God's plan is that all of us will meet the destiny that He's given in our life. And no storm, no tragedy, no lack, no life preserver, no abundant supply of food, no nothing will get in the way. But as we cut those things off, for God to be with you in your journey all the way to the end. But what interesting what happens is they're on this island of Malta, and ministry did not stop for Paul. Paul had a word. He said, I see this destruction. He started declaring, God has shown me that we're all going to be saved. Then he broke bread and they ate and they dumped all the grain off. And now they're on this island and safely. We found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us some unusual kindness. They built up a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and it was cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw this, and the snake hanging on his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire, suffered no ill effect, and the people expected him to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Interesting. From a murderer to to a God. You know, God is a God that will guard over our reputation. You know, it's amazing how people can just change their mind. Oh, he's no good. No, he's the greatest thing I ever heard. You know, you know, if you're looking for the accolades of men, don't do it. Because what they say doesn't count. What God says is what counts. What he says about you and me is what counts. He's the one that qualified you. Yourself didn't do it, or nobody else did it. He qualified. You gave your life to Jesus. You became a son and daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Walk into your position and know that nothing can get in the way that can keep you from your destiny in God's kingdom. Right. And don't ever get discouraged about the obstacles of life. We may meet these huge obstacles of life. Never be discouraged with that. But turn it around and say, God, you have given me an opportunity to see how great you are. See how great you are. And then they were welcomed into a beautiful home. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius and the chief officials in the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us his generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from a fever and dysentery. Paul went to see him after prayer, placed his hand on him, and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. Ministry never started. You know what? To me, we have Jesus' record. He went places and he healed all who were sick. It says there, use that word, A-L. Oh. Now Jesus had died and resurrected from the dead and went to sit on a throne with his Father. And he has some men spreading the good news of the gospel. And Paul's stuck on this island of Malta. He gets welcomed into this leader's house with full generosity and hospitality. Finds out the member of the family was sick. He went to the room where he was sick. He prayed. Stop a moment here. Do you believe God answers prayer? He prayed. It doesn't say what he prayed, but it says he prayed. Then he did something. He laid hands on that family member, and they were healed. People said, wow, look what just happened. So all the sick on that island came to where he was. And that shows up again in scriptures, that the sick in the island came and were cured. So what's changed now in the 21st century? God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe we've changed. I don't believe that. Remember? With doubt in operation, expectation goes to zero. I've been praying for this church. Faith rise up in this place. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about us as a body of believers. That even though no matter what the obstacle you're facing in life, whatever that is, pray. Pray and believe that God can do it. Now, the difficult time is as God builds patience in us. Now, remember what this saying in Acts. You're going to Rome, gets thrown in jail for over 2 years. You're going to Rome, and storms come up, and difficulties come up, where the best of the sailors say we're all dead. Made it through it. And in that journey, cutting off everything of your own ability and your own provision, reminding ourselves, He's our ability, He's our provision. And then he gets to a place on the island of Malta, and what the Son of God did in healing all those that were sick, that place was given to Paul. One man healed, all healed. The thing is, what God said as we come into the last days, which we very well could be in the last days, we could be on the brink of Jesus coming. What is the one thing the Scripture says that He's looking for? What's the Spirit of God going around? What's He looking for? He said, "Will I find faith on the earth? Will I find the gospel faith?" And by the way, we're going to start a series now in the signs, wonders, and miracles of Jesus. That's what we're going to do in the next quarter. And will I find faith in the earth? Jesus demonstrated it. Now Paul demonstrated it. Now TGP, we're called to demonstrate it. Demonstrate it. Not be rocked by the difficulties of this life, but be overcomers through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with soldiers guarding him. And in closing, we're going to get a glimpse into this man's life, his last years of life before the Roman government took his life. It's found in the last few verses of the book of Acts. "Therefore, I want you to know God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him." See, it was like a executive prison. He wasn't thrown in the cell. He was allowed to live in a house. And Philippians tells us chained to two guards so he couldn't escape. But he was saying, he was glorifying God. "Here I am stuck in this house. I can't move out of the house. I got 2 soldiers on either side of me." And yet, they were hearing something we're going to hear. They were hearing from Paul about the glorious news of Jesus Christ. And he said, because these people were stuck with me, they got saved, and the whole guard of Rome was all hearing about Jesus. even though Paul couldn't personally be there, he got two guards so excited about Jesus that they told the whole army of guards in Rome. And we're given a clue on what he was said, and Paul stayed there in the rented house, welcomed all who came to him. Here's what he did. He said, he proclaimed the kingdom of God. Now, you and I are citizens of the U.S., but we are citizens of heaven. And we have to know who we are. Sometimes I ask people, do you know who you are? I ask that to believe. Do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You have been given authority to the person of Jesus Christ. You're the one that Jesus even told us, you ask my Father things in my name, and I'll do it. Raise up faith in this place. Raise up faith. Paul in his journey, even though through struggle, had gotten to this rented home in Rome, tied up between two guards, and he could only speak a couple of things, and one of the things he clue to is that I just proclaim these men the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a very powerful thing. And soon, in God's providence, Jesus will come down to this earth and rule. Then there will be justice. Then there will be justice. And he also taught about Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, with all boldness, without hindrance. In this church, Jesus is helpful. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I hope you've all learned something in this moment of time, that no matter what comes against you, he's stronger. And in the difficulties, learn how to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Learn how to take the issues of life and turn them around to a blessing in your life. And remember that you belong to Jesus and his kingdom, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. And as long as you keep him as Lord of your life, keep him that position, that you will complete the assignment he's given you. You will complete the assignment he's given you. Amen? Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, we're reminded that you are our strength and you are our helper. You are our deliverer from all of our trouble. Father God, raise us up that our faith will not falter. Our faith will be built on what you say, not what we've experienced. Father God, I thank you for your promises, your abundant promises in your word, that you are everything we ever need in this life. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we cannot trust in wealth, we cannot trust in health, we cannot trust in provisions, we cannot trust in anything else, but the Lord says, put your trust in me. And remind us, Father God, when we come into difficulties, remind us to halt and pray. Stop and pray. And remind us of the authority that you've given in our prayers. Because we will always acknowledge you in that, in ending up our time and our precious time with you. We'll end that in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship leaders. Hallelujah.